All right, welcome. It is our summer series that we are working through, and for this summer, it is the questions you've asked, which we will kind of wrap up here in probably about 3 weeks. So you've asked great questions. I got to, I think, all of them. I know someone asked one about a topic that's going to come up in our fall series as we are in the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the next chapter. So we'll hit that one when we get to it there. So we took this one in two parts. So last week we started on this one where it says, I'd like more teachings on the gifts of the spirits, like evangelism and prayer warrior. So we took general last week, and remember we left last week with this whole idea that gifts are meant to complete the church. They're really necessary. You should be asking the Holy Spirit, what is my gift? What have you gifted me to do? Because it's going to help complete the church. But when we saw in Corinth, they were struggling with this, and they started competing. Well, my gift is better than your gift, and I'm on the stage, therefore my gift is better than your gift. And they just started this comparison thing, and Paul brought him back and said, wait a minute, think about the body. What if all you had was ears? Well, that would be ugly and just weird, right? That would be just be wrong, and it wouldn't complete the picture that God wants to do. So that's what I want you to understand, this whole idea of church, God wants to complete. And he's given everybody gifts, diverse gifts, in order to complete the church. That's where we left off last week, and that's a really important part that I don't want anybody to miss as we continue on. So this week we're going to talk about specific things, and in specific things, two things were asked about, this idea of prayer warrior and evangelism. So I'm going to talk about that and then go into more about some categories of gifts before we hit an important part. So I would urge you, if you have your Bibles, yes, the scripture you look at will be on the screen, or if you're watching online, it'll be on the bottom of your screen. But I want you to see something. So if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to see something, what Paul does between chapters 12 and chapter 14, where chapter 13 comes in, and we're going to hit that later. That's really important what he does. And he does that in the middle of this whole discussion about what it's like for these spiritual gifts, these grace gifts, to be used in a church. Okay, so let's start with this one, prayer warrior, okay? Paul talked to Corinth, Rome, and Ephesus, spoke of spiritual gifts. Peter mentions them. There's never mentions of prayer as a gift. So what does that mean? None of us should pray? No, it means all of us should pray. It's actually the opposite. It's actually saying, no, I don't want you to think of that as a specific gift, because that's all of us should be doing that. In fact, I want you to see what actually Paul does say about prayer that's really important. And he writes this to Timothy. He says, first of all, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people. He gives four categories there that prayer is about. Four different things you could look and say prayer breaks up into, okay? Requests, those are deep personal needs. We understand that. That's what goes around. Those of you who help us out and you're on a text group, when something happens to somebody and we text a deep personal need out that somebody has, and you are praying for that deep personal need, okay? That is the idea of requests. Prayers are just exchanges with God. And I would urge you to think conversations with God is the overall idea of prayer. So request those deep personal needs. None of us have a problem with those, by the way. Okay, we probably have a problem with the second category. You mean I'm supposed to be praying? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but God knows everything about me. I know. And he wants to hear it from you. Express your needs to him. Talk about your day to him. Talk about your struggles to him. Yes, he knows all about the coworker that's driving you crazy, okay? And maybe if you'd have a conversation with God about it, he would help you and work in your heart and help you as you are dealing with that. So prayers are exchanged with God. The third one, intercessions. This is what's really interesting. The word Paul uses is approaching the king on behalf of somebody else. Ooh, I like that imagery, right? The king, you're approaching the king. Now, if you remember the story of Esther, that's a big deal. That's a big deal in Esther, because if you approach the king, right, and the king doesn't want you to approach them, it's trouble, and Esther understands that. We have a king who says, guess what I've done? I sent my only son to die in your place and rise again for your salvation. So approach. approach. But intercession's when I approach for somebody else. So now I hear this deep personal need. It's not my personal need. I go to God on behalf of somebody else. That is a beautiful thing, this idea of intercession. I go to God on behalf of somebody else, my friend, the person in the church I just love, and they're going through this hard time, and I find out about their need. So now you're requesting a need. Now you're going to the King on behalf of others. And thanksgiving, which is gratitude. And let's be honest, we probably struggle with this one. You know, unless there's a turkey on the table or whatever you have for Thanksgiving, and you're remembered, oh, yeah, we got to be grateful. Gosh, man, it is that time of year. We tend to forget. We tend not to be grateful because our list is too long. God, we have so many things for you to do. And he's like, could you come with a grateful heart? Could you come with thanksgiving, being grateful for how I'm working and moving and doing things already in your life? But it's like, oh yeah, thank you for that. I got a lot of other things to talk about, okay? And God's meeting needs. In fact, early in the beginning of next year, we're going to talk about this whole idea of making sure that we have a recording. We're journaling down the things we're praying for. Do you know why? Because you ought to go back and see how God's been answering. Not just, oh, I got all these other needs. Oh, look at, hey, remember when we prayed for this and God worked in our life? That was awesome. And remember this one? A lot of times we just don't remember. We're on to the next thing. On the next thing, the next thing. That's the idea of prayer. I want to leave you. That's what Paul talks about with prayer. So prayer is not a gift. It's rather the privilege and responsibility of the Christ follower. We follow in Jesus. Guess what we do? We pray. Why? It's a privilege to be able to do that. And it's also a responsibility to pray for one another. So I want you to fall this in a category gift of, well, I just don't have that gift. Sorry, Ed, I don't have the gift. I can't pray. No. We all have that privilege of going before the King, and we all have that responsibility to also pray for the people around us. The people we know need Christ. The people we know are hurting. The people we know need God to work in a powerful way in their life. That's our responsibility. We get to do that. So think of prayer as the privilege and responsibility of those of us following Jesus. That's our privilege and responsibility. Now, evangelists, our evangelism. So in Ephesians 4:11, one of the places where Paul begins to talk about the gift, he talks about some as evangelists and begins to talk about this idea of evangelism. If you remember when we were in the Sermon on the Mount, bringing the good news, that's what Jesus said he was doing, bringing the good news of the kingdom. The word there is euangelion. I don't know if you remember that weird word I tried to teach you for weeks, and you're probably like, what is he crazy? Okay, that's the word. And the word simply means good news. And by the way, it was used everywhere. When Caesar Augustus came in, he issued a euangelion. This is the good news, and I'm taking over, and I'm a great Caesar, and I'm going to do all this wonderful stuff for you. Okay? That's the euangelion. Jesus had a euangelion of good news. So guess what? This is the same word. This is where it comes from. That idea of good news, a good news that needs to be proclaimed. So he says he gave some to be evangelists. In other words, they're going to be grace gifted, because we said that's what that word means. That idea of gift is grace gifted with good news communication. You're gifted to communicate the good news. This can look in lots of different ways. I went to college with a guy named Joe. And we always asked Joe to tell us his stories. Joe could pull up to Casey's, get gas, and lead somebody to Christ at the same time. I've never seen anything like it, okay? He was gifted. We're like, Joe, how does this happen? I don't know. Pumping gas. We start up a conversation. Next thing I know, he's praying and asking Jesus into his life. I don't know, right? It's just a gift. He was gifted that way, okay? Right? Most of us are just like, get in the car, get the gas going. It's not pumping fast enough. I got to get out of here. I'm late, right? But that's not what he thought. He could go anywhere, do anything, and he would just end up in these conversations. I think that's one place you could say this gift looks like. It looks like that. It also looks like for people who are very gifted in defending this message of good news. They're very good in that. That they're very good in understanding that when somebody is making a false claim, a false argument against Jesus, and there's lots of them out there, they are very gifted in being able to say, oh, no, that's not right. And they're gifted in that way of knowing things and being able to communicate that. It's very important to be able to do that. It's very important we have people who are able to do that and do it well. I was watching the clip the other night of somebody doing that with somebody and just gifted individual to be able to do the things that they were doing. And it can, I think it looks in lots of other ways, but it's this idea of this good news of Jesus that the gift is I'm able to communicate that. Don't think you got to stand on the stage. Okay? Don't think you got to be Billy Graham. Yeah, Billy Graham could go and fill up a stadium and all these people come to Christ and like, well, I guess I'm not Billy Graham. I don't have to get to evangelism. That's silly. That's silly. That was a very, very public gift. And yet there are people all over the place who are very gifted just to have conversations with people and answer questions for them, help them come to Christ. It looks a lot of different ways, but I want you to think this good news as a gift to help others know who Jesus is and help others come to a saving faith in him. That's this gift of evangelism, really, really important gift. But you do know that we all have the responsibility to live out and share the good news. Just want to make sure we understand that and go, well, yes, it's not my gift. I don't ever have to say anything. Nope. Paul told us, Timothy told us, Peter tells us that we ought to do what? We ought to be ready to give an answer for those who would ask for the hope that's in us. Do you know what that first of all means? I actually got to live like there's a hope inside of me. If I don't live any different and live like there's no hope and I just mope around all day, nobody's going to go, wow, I need that. Okay, they're all going, no, I need out of this area. I need away from you. You're too much. Okay, but when people see the hope that's within us, they're going to go, how can you respond that way? You know how much is going on in the world? You know how crazy things are? How can you be so calm in the midst of this, right? And their blood pressure is just going up and up and up. And how can you be calm in this? Oh, let me tell you about the hope I have. That hope's in Jesus. Jesus, he is sovereign over all. He's in control of everything. And that's why I can have a calmness in the midst of everything that's going on. So I want you to understand that. We were responsible for the hope that's within us to share that. So is there any difference in your life that make people around you say, gosh, there's something about them. There's this hope. And then I get the opportunity to share about that hope. Okay, let's go in the other categories of gifts. I'm going to try to make them really, really general because we could get into this, but there's something more important I want to kind of focus on. So I'm going to give you three categories of gifts. Okay, the first are speaking gifts, communicating the word and the will of God into others' lives. Now, these are your gifts of teaching, the gifts of prophecy. And by the way, when we get to prophecy, you need to know about that gift because everybody thinks of the gift of prophecy as, ooh, I get to tell the future. That's cool. And that's awesome. And I get to do this. And right, you've seen these people all over the news all the time. I have this you ever read the book of Jeremiah? See, I would like to ask those individuals, you ever read the book of Jeremiah? Because there's two parts of prophecy. There's two things that include with prophecy. It is forthtelling. What's going on? What's happening in this culture? And foretelling. And let me just tell you, for Jeremiah, nobody liked what he was saying. Nobody. Hey, the Babylonians are coming in. Surrender to them. It's going to go bad, right? And they're all like, oh, no, Jeremiah's a false prophet. And over again, God showed himself. Okay, for Jeremiah's great foretelling about what was going on, you know what it got him? He got thrown in a well filled with mud. That's what he got for it. And he would have died in there if somebody didn't come along and pull him and get him out of that situation. You want to know his foretelling? You know what he got to tell? Hey, 70 years, God's going to bring you back. 70 years. You're in exile for 70 years. So you want to think about that. And then we got people all the time, and this day and that day, and we've kind of ruined what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do in this gift. Communicating the word of God, that's so important. You know the word, you're communicating into the other lives. Sometimes we get to speak the will of God into others' lives. Now, what I'm talking about that. Remember what we had last week in Timothy, that Paul told Timothy that your gift was confirmed by what? The laying on hands, people praying for you. That was confirmed. So in other words, you know what they did? They spoke the will of God into his life as well. I've had this happen to me. I told you, that's why I'm up here today. It's part of why I'm up here, is because somebody did that for me. Spoke the will of God into my life. I see this for you, okay? And you know when that was written? When I was a year old, okay? Let me tell you, there was no gift then other than, gosh, I think he cries loud. He might be good to have on the stage, okay? So I understand that. That was seeing the will of God and writing that down for me to read years later, okay? The word of God, will of God. Not just I just tell the future and all this stuff, and you're going to see what we're talking about here in a moment. I think we've really at times not helped others understand how important these gifts are and how necessary they are in the church because of the way they have not been used well. They have been used in other ways, and hold on, we're going to get to that, okay? Serving gifts, using your time, talent, treasure to meet needs in Jesus' name. Now, lots of different ways, lots of different people have serving gifts. Lots of different people. You are just able, the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to serve. That doesn't mean we don't get not to serve. Well, I didn't get that gift, so I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to sign up to help anywhere. No, doesn't mean that. But some people are just gifted that way. Some people are just gifted that way. They are gifted with the gift of hospitality. They are just able to welcome people in their homes. And you hear these stories, and you're like, how do you do that? I don't know if I could do that. Well, they're gifted that way. How important of a gift that is. Serving gifts are really important. But you know what happens with all of these? Once you go back to a story. Now, this is pre-Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. Remember, Jesus goes to the home. We looked at it in a Mother's Day of Mary and Martha. Martha, clearly, if we would take her post-Pentecost Holy Spirit, we'd be like, my goodness, that woman has the gift of serving. Okay? She is welcoming. Jesus feels welcomed in her home. And yet, who gets rebuked? Wait a minute. What happened there? Because, and this happens often, we'll get there in a moment, Martha loved the gift more than the gift giver. And that's a huge problem. Jesus ran into this in more places than just Martha. He ran into this in John 6 where he feeds the crowd and then they start following him. And they go, what do you want? Well, we want more food. Jesus, you fed us, right? We want more food. And it ends up in a discussion where most of them leave and he looks at the disciples and said, are you guys going to leave too? And they got it because Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We can't go anywhere else. They got it. They got that he was more important than the bread and fish he took and multiplied. And sometimes we get that backwards and we like the gifts better than the giver. And that's always dangerous. That's always going to be problematic. Let me get to the third one. And this is definitely true with this one. Gifts of power given to believers by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate and manifest God's incredible and supernatural power. This is the one we all argue over. This is the one that sermons are about all the time, going, oh, this only happened then. It doesn't happen now. Because, again, we get things backwards. When you get things backwards, I want you to see what happens. So hold on to this gift of powers for a moment. Do you know what happens right at the end? And we're built in chapters. They weren't. So they're just reading Paul's letter. Okay? The Corinthians are reading Paul's letter straight through. Something amazing Paul does that we don't think about between chapters 12, where he's talking a lot about spiritual gifts, and chapter 14, where he goes into even more detail about some of the gifts. He does something. And part of our problem is 1 Corinthians 13, for too many people, has become the text for wedding ceremonies. Oh, that's the text for wedding ceremonies. We don't need that today. All right, I'm not getting married, so that's what we've done to it. Nobody's getting married in Corinth. Paul did not write this and say, oh, hey, tell those two. I got a great thing for you to read at your wedding ceremony. Didn't do that. He sticks it right at the end, right in almost in the middle here, between his discussions on spiritual gifts. And I want you to see why. Because the whole first part is about that. They wanted the gifts more than the giver. And that caused them to act out in certain ways that were totally opposite of the way Jesus told us to do things. So this is why Paul, right at the end of chapter 12, says, "And now I will show you a way that is beyond comparison." Some of your translations will say, "Now I'm going to show you a more excellent way." I know you think these gifts are awesome and they're incredible, and what gift do I have, and woo! And no, I'm going to show you a better way. I'm going to show you something far more important. Now watch this. "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." What's one of the things they want in Corinth? We want this gift, and we want to speak in all these different ways, and we want to do that. And he says, "Do you understand? Outside of love, you're noise. That's all you are, is your noise. All you are offering your church is noise. That's it. That's all you're offering. If it's done outside of love, that's all you're offering them. Bunch of noise, bunch of, and more than noise, annoying noise. Like, it's not helping anybody. Not helping anybody. It's just noise, and it's like, ugh, why do I want that?" He continues. "And if I have prophecy," woo, prophecy, yeah. "And I know all mysteries and knowledge," woo, yes. Those are the guys on about 2 o'clock in the morning if you are ever awake and flipping through channels, okay? "They know all mysteries, they know all knowledge. And I have faith so I can remove mountains." Remember, Jesus told us that. Faith of mustard seed can move mountains. Wow, that'd be awesome. "Do not have love, I am nothing." But wait a minute. I can sell a lot of books. I can sell a lot of books with my mysteries and knowledge. And everybody's like, woo, man, New York Times bestseller over and over again. Gosh, let's get that book. He said, "Do you understand when this is all done outside of love? I'm nothing. I'm nothing." Man, that's pretty blunt. Goes on. "And if I can give away everything," oh, here's our gift of service now. "If I can give everything I own, and if I give over my body in order to boast," and some will talk about to be burned by the flames, to show myself, "See, look how much I will do. But do not have love, I receive no benefit, and neither does the church." Do you understand what he's doing? And then he goes right into the list. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Oh, gosh, when that happened last week? Trying to compete? I want your gift. That's not fair. Why'd you get that gift and I didn't get that gift? It does not envy. It does not boast. Hey, look at my gift. Look what I can do. Isn't it amazing? It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Isn't that fascinating? He sticks that right there in the discussion about spiritual gifts, because I wonder if the same thing happened in Corinth that tends to happen everywhere else. We want the gift more than we want the giver of the gift. And we get enamored with these things, and we see them abused and used in wrong ways, and we don't know how to deal with that. And do you understand there's this whole concept and context that we're supposed to do these out of love? Out of love for Jesus and what he has done for us. Out of love for one another. That is Jesus' command to us. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love us? Well, it took him to a cross. That's how much he loved us. That's pretty bold. That's pretty big love. He says, that's how I want you to love. That's how I want you to love. And yet here at Corinth, what happened? See, I wonder if Corinthians just started thinking about this week. Don't know if I can prove it at all, but I wonder if this is almost the climax of what Paul's got to talk about, because the book is all about how they misunderstood love. You don't get very far into the book of Corinthians and they've got problems in the church and everybody's overlooking it, and Paul's saying, that's not love. And then when you get the spiritual gifts, no, that's not love. That's not love. And he shows them what real love is, and he's kind of going back and forth to, do you understand? The church of Jesus is a church about the love that Jesus had for us, and it shows to one another and is able to penetrate a lost and broken and fallen world. Man, that's what gifts ought to be about. And I think Paul puts that all there to make sure we understand it. But we understand and we ought to say, Holy Spirit, show me how you're gifting me and how what you've given me will complete the church instead of competing with anybody else. And may I do that out of an incredible love for you and all that you've given to us. It happens all the time. There are people who love the word more than the giver of the word. There are people who love the gifts more than the giver of the gifts. It can happen all the time. It can be so easy to just slip into that place where we just lose a sense of who are these from? Who's this about? Who are these for? And we just lose that. It's okay. That's what happens in our world. And the word gets us back on track, calls us back. No. Wait a minute. Whoa. Paul says, no. Love. You can have all the incredible gifts you want. You can be fantastic. It's nothing. Nothing without love. So, as you are seeing these gifts, right? We're going to pray. We're going to ask Jesus to help us, to show us how we're gifted. Remember, we're supposed to call that out of other people's. Timothy, it was confirmed in his life by the people in the church. Because maybe he was like, no, I don't know if I want to do this. No, Timothy, that was confirmed on you. Yeah, other people, that was confirmed in your life. Well, gosh, what would it look like if we did that? Remember, all these things are so important a part of the gifts. And to always make sure it's about the gift giver and not the gift. So, as we pray today, would you pray in that way? Show me the gifts you've given to me for my good, for the glory of Jesus, and for the benefits and the well-being and the building up of his church, that God would be glorified and would move greatly in our midst. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I just pray that we have understood these gifts, even as quickly as we look through different categories. There's probably very few subjects that bring a sense of fear at times to them than gifts, and they shouldn't. Fear is not of you. You don't give the spirit of fear. But we do. We get fearful. And we get fearful, then we want to control things. And Holy Spirit, forgive us for when we've tried to control your work. Father, we ask you to forgive us. You sent your only Son to die in our place and rise again for our salvation. And if that wasn't a great enough gift, then you gift us the Holy Spirit. And if that wasn't enough, then the Holy Spirit comes out in gifts in our lives for the building up and benefit of your church, Jesus. How amazing is that? We ought to be the most grateful of people because the gifts just keep coming. You're so good and wonderful to us. So I pray in these moments we would refuse to give into fear. And instead, we know what casts out fear. Perfect love. Your love, Jesus. That you showed to us and you want shown in your church. So we would just pray this morning that we would not be fearful. We would have open hands to what you are giving to us to then give it away. For the glory, Jesus, of you and your church. We pray all this in Jesus' name.